Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always, always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you a spiritual gift, to the end that you might be established, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, that is to the church of Rome, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even among the other Gentiles. Okay? So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Okay? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the people that are here, and we're thankful that you've sent them here tonight, and we believe that they're here by the unction of the Spirit of God. And Father, we pray that you take the message today would touch people's hearts with it. The book of Romans is a tremendous book, Master. We're thankful that you give it to us. We're thankful we got an open Bible. We're thankful that we have what we have through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let's work our way down through this, and we'll try to stop at verse 17. All right. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith was spoken of. It says he is spoken of throughout the whole world. So the Roman church, it was a good church. I mean, if you wanted to go through a book verse by verse, this is one of the best books you can go through, is the book of Romans. It'll settle you with regard to different doctrinal truths. Beloved, if it's in the Bible, do you believe it? You best believe it. Now, there's been things that I didn't believe in the beginning until I looked at the evidence. When you look at the evidence, there ain't nothing you can do about it. And I've had that. I've had people that I've preached a message and they say, "Well, I don't believe what you just preached. I don't believe that at all." I said, "Well, you don't. What about this text?" And here's what I've heard before. "I don't care what that says there. I don't believe it." Well, you ain't going to do that. I mean, what can you do with anything like that? If it's in the book, it behooves you to check it out. It behooves you to do it. Because God will show you things through the Scriptures. He'll take the Scriptures and he'll open your understanding so that you can see it and understand it. There's things that I used not to believe, but I believe them now. Who showed me? Well, God did. He opened my heart, man. He opened my heart in salvation, but he also opens your heart in showing you truth. So you look at it, and you ask the Lord, and he'll show you whether it's true or not. And he will. I believe he will. He'll show you. All right. So, verse 4. For my God is my witness, whom I serve from my spirit. Now, this is like worship. It is worship. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my what? With my spirit. That's your inward parts. That's your inward parts. We serve Him with our spirit. We serve Him with our spirit, and it's important that we do it that way. I like to prepare. I prepare for church, but I like to prepare. Here's what I do. I'll first pray before I come. Before I come, I get ready. I got to get ready. I got to think about what. Here's where I got this from. My old football coach, he used to say, Coach Jennings says, boys, shut your mouth and think about what you got getting ready to do. And I thought, well, that's just a football game, but that's what you should do when you come to church. You got to think when you're coming in what you're getting ready to do. You're getting ready to worship the Lord. You're getting ready to sing to the Lord. You're getting ready to worship the Lord. So you got to remind yourself what you're getting ready to do, because sometimes you can come in and you're just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. That can happen. So that's one of the things that I do as a pastor. I have to be ready to roll. I have to be ready to roll. I spend time in prayer. I've spent time in study. I do all of those things so that when I come in, I'm ready. And when you go verse by verse, right there it is for you to even look at. So I think it's why it's important for, I think more people should exposit text. You use the text. Follow the text. And if it's true, and you know, the scriptures is always true, then it behooves you to believe it. All God's people say it. All right. Now, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. That's from your heart. The gospel of His Son. Now, everybody knows what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to turn it to you one more time. I want everybody in the church house to know what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, I know you know it. 1 Corinthians 15, and here it talks again about the gospel. What's gospel mean just in the word gospel? Good news. Good news. Bad news, we were all sinners, but the good news is the gospel. And the gospel message is, When you trust the gospel message as being to put away your sin, that's how God saves a sinner. That's how He does it. He saves through the gospel. Now, let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have received. Now, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, right? Paul wrote it. And he says, He received it. Who did he get it from? He got it direct. And what God gave him, he penned it in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is the true gospel. Now why am I distinguishing that? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is the pure gospel. That's how God saves a sinner. But there's also false gospels. Scripture calls them perverted gospels. So there's churches that peddle false gospels. And you got to know who they are too. Everybody's not the same. Everybody's not the same. There's only one gospel, but there's many perverted gospels. So you got to know the difference between them all. And 1 Corinthians 15 is the text that shows you. Let me go ahead and read it again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which means good news, which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand. You stand on the gospel. You stand on it. By which ye are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. Now, he received his gospel direct from Christ. He received it direct. For I delivered from you, first of all, that which I received. That which I received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the pure gospel. That's the pure gospel. How can you be saved if you don't know what the gospel is? You got to know what the gospel is. But like I said at the beginning, you also got to know what a perverted gospel is. And there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. Okay, let's go back to our text now. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 1. And the verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans 1, 8. For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you that your faith is spoken of throughout the what? The whole world. The whole what?
The whole world.
So the gospel, sometimes people think, the gospel's already been, one of these days the gospel's going to go to all the world. Well, it already has been. It's right here in the book. Already has been. Think about that. And they didn't have, what didn't they have? They didn't have a car. They didn't have a whole lot of anything but walking, did they? But they carried the gospel 2,000 years ago before they had any other thing, and all they really had was a zeal. All they had was a zeal for Christ, all God's people said. We must have a zeal for lost people. And everyone that's been born again should have a zeal for lost people. We got our families, we got people that are our friends, but they're lost. And we want to share the gospel with them. You want to do it in a good way so they'll listen to you. You don't want to be so cantankerous that you make them mad. Have you ever done that before? That didn't help them much, did it? No, you have to do it in a good, kind way. Say, listen, I love you, and I dearly love to see you saved. And you do it because you care for their soul, and you want to see them born again, okay? All right. But that's the gospel. Anything else other than 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5 is a false gospel. It's just not true. And you have to trust the true gospel. Okay? All right. For God is my witness, which I serve with my spirit. See, this isn't something that's just something outward. This is inward. It's inward. It's an inward thing. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray every day? How many do you pray every day? I think it's important to God's people to do that. Some people pray three times a day. They did that in the Scriptures. They prayed morning, noon, and evening. That's what they did. And the more you pray, you'll get closer to Jesus by coming to church. That's true. But you'll get closer to Jesus just by being in His house. Just becoming in His house and reading the Scriptures. Man, can you imagine if you went back years and years and years ago, back into the Old Testament? Can you imagine when we get to heaven, there'll be some of those that didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. I bet some of them old saints will say, "You had the whole book. You got the whole book." I bet you could never get out of it. That's how important this book is. It's how important that this book is. Need to read it every day. Need to have a notebook. You know, the difference between just studying or just not really putting a whole lot in it is pen and paper. Put it to pen and paper. Look it up. Man, you got all kinds of helps that you can get in order to learn and grow stronger in the things of the Lord. That's why you got to do it. Okay? There's many ways that we can witness to people, and I'm going to give you some of them. There's many different ways you can reach people. If you want to reach people, there's many different ways you can do it now. Number one, you can do it through the radio. That's one example we have. Radio ain't as popular as it used to be, though. But we still have a radio broadcast, and we've had people come from a radio broadcast. There are some people that won't go to church, but they might listen to a radio broadcast. And it's also good for you to say, you could invite them to listen to it. Invite them to listen to it, and, you know, I'm not real windy at all. About 30 minutes and it's over, or 28 minutes is over. So we use that way. I think that's important. We got probably 2,300 sermons on sermon audio that people can go on and listen to. I mean, sometimes you can use it that way. But the more you reach out, I mean, if you want to catch souls, that's one of the things you have to do. You pray for it. You ask for it. You seek for it. You do all those things. I love seeing people saved. All God's people say it. Love to see them born again. Love to see people come and trust Christ as their Savior. That's the greatest thing you can have. Okay, verse 10, make requests if by any means now at this length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, I don't know what the spiritual gift in this particular text would be talking about, but I'm going to give you a spiritual gift. What's the greatest gift in the world? It's a spiritual gift, wouldn't it be? To have a spiritual gift and to have the true gospel and all these things as the Lord gives, the greatest blessings that you could possibly have. Beloved, I don't know how people could live on this earth without the expectation at the end of their days of going to heaven. How horrible of a life it would be not to go to heaven at the end of your days. What a horrible life it would be not to have Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to tell you again, and I don't like to talk about this either. I'm going to tell you again about this, but I just use this for a reason. There's an old boy, and I've been talking to him a bit, and he was a lost man, and I thought, well, I'll just hold off here a little bit, and I did. I held off a little bit, all right. I held off a bit. And I thought, now I'm going to go, but I picked a time and a date, and I was going to go talk to him. I picked it. And I could have done it earlier, but I didn't. You know what happened? He died. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? You think about that. It just about killed me. Sometimes, and some that come to me and say, well, Jeff, did you get to talk to him? I said, no, I didn't. Could I have? Probably. But I thought I had plenty of what? I thought I had plenty of time. And that's what sinner people do. They think they have plenty of time. You don't know how much time you got. You don't know why, and buddy, to this day, and the only reason I use it is to warn other people, because that makes you feel horrible. Now, I know God saves; He's going to save His people. I understand all of that, but my job is to spread the message.
Amen.
That's what you're supposed to do. Share it with them. And God's people is responsible for that too. All God's people say it. Responsible to do it. Share the message with them, okay? All right. For I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, that you may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. That's fellowship. God's people has great fellowship. That's what you want in your church, good fellowship. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even among the other what? There's your Gentiles. Ain't you glad the Lord brought the Gentiles in? He brought us in and made us a part also. I think that's a tremendous thing. Now, did I deserve that, and did you deserve that? No. Did the Jews deserve that? No. God saves His people by His grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And it's the greatest thing you could ever have is to have eternal life. Now, I imagine that everybody here in the church here tonight is saved. I don't know. Most generally. But what we have to do is take it out of the four walls. Do you see what I mean? We got it in here. We know about it. I mean, we know it. We've heard it up and down and sideways and everywhere else. We know it. But we got to get it out of here. Out in the world where the lost people's at. Out in the world where the lost people's at. Our family members, our co-workers. Stewie was saved and he was a co-worker. He was a co-worker. We worked up at the barrel plant together. We were co-workers. But that wasn't in the church house. Later on, he came forward and he trusted Christ to have his Savior. But you got to give him the message. Sometimes I worry that people don't give the message. And the greatest thing you can do is just to share it. Or you can ask them to listen to a radio broadcast and see if they listen to it or not. Or give them something to read. But we have to do something. All right. Just about done. Verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. He's talking about different people in this text that needs to hear what? The gospel. They need it. They need to hear it from God's people. They need to hear it from God's people. Needs to tell them, show them. It's what they need to do. Sometimes I think that we, like I said a little while ago, what I think is what we need to do is to pray every day for a door of utterance to share the gospel with a sinner. If you don't ask for it, you won't look for it. That's exactly right, especially with regard to that. You have not because you ask not. You ask, Lord, open me a door. Lord, open me a door of utterance to share Jesus with someone today. Okay? All right, let me wind her up. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let me move up a little bit. Let me move back to verse 15. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. Can you imagine going into Rome? Can you imagine going into Rome at that particular time? They put Christians in chains. They killed them. And they throwed them to wild animals and all these things. Look what they did. So he was going there. Paul was going there to do what? Preach the gospel. Preach. He had to get the. He went there to preach the gospel. That was the biggest place you could go to. So he went to the biggest place you could go to share the gospel. Church was established there. You know, whenever the Lord saves people, he'll establish a church there. He'll establish a church. Carry the gospel, to teach, to deliver the ordinances, all that. He'll do all of that. That's all part of it. Okay? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Believes it. You got to believe it. And when you trust it, it gives you everlasting, eternal life. Verse 17, this is the last one. For therein is the righteousness of God. Now, I want you to get this. Now, this is my pet peeve with regard to a text, because this is a good thing that I'm after here. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed. When you trust Christ Jesus as your Savior, when you trust Him as your Savior, He not only removes your sin, Dad, but He charges to your account Christ's righteousness. How much righteousness does He give you? 100%. And when you see those saints of God in heaven, and they're dressed in what color robes? White robes, pure and white. It's a picture. It's a picture of the righteousness of God. The saints. That's what God does. And that's what He does in salvation. Nothing any greater than that. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Oh, God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight. Y'all stand up. Good to be in the house of the Lord.